Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson, your health watchman. Welcome to the radio show. Thanks for listening. If you're listening over the internet or if you're listening online, thank you for joining us today. I have a website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And when many people hear that, they automatically think Torah has something to do with the Jewish people. And in a way, it does. But we have to remember our Messiah himself, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, was Jewish as well. And he gave us a set of instructions to live by, and that is the foundation of Christianity, and that is known as the Torah. You see, folks, Christianity is in itself a sect of Judaism, and it's not the Judaism that Yeshua came to rebuke. It's the Judaism that Yeshua came to set man free from with these guidelines and instructions on how we should live and what we should be doing. And that's what we're going to be covering here on the show today. Because I often go out evangelizing on the street and letting people know that Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, died for you so you could have another chance at living. And as I go out there and I do that, I often run into Christians that say we're free from the law, or the law was nailed to the cross, or we don't have to follow the law. And it brings up this topic, folks, of grace versus law. And I'll submit to you that that's an oxymoron. It shouldn't be grace versus law. It should be that we get his grace because we follow the law. You see, the first problem is the word law. Many of us hear the word law and we automatically think of something to do with we have to do this or else. And then they get into the idea of a salvation issue, and then they make a salvation issue out of this. No, folks. It's not a salvation issue. It says in the scriptures, you know, the heart, what we do, you know, our heart shows our fruit. Well, we're saved only one way, through the blood of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. It's the only way we're saved. That's the only way to have salvation. So we need to remember that. We don't keep the law to be saved. We should be keeping the law because we are saved, because we trust him and we want to listen to him and his example, his instructions, and his guidelines. And when we use the word law, we make it seem like it's a salvation issue. And all believers should be followers of Yeshua. And Yeshua said the foundation of all scripture and what he taught was the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The problem is many churches aren't teaching this today, and they're leading people astray. As a matter of fact, it says things in the scriptures like, if you do not follow my guidelines and instruction, your prayers are an abomination to me. And as the church is telling many people today that they no longer need to keep the guidelines and instructions, what they're doing is they're teaching people's prayers to become an abomination. And that is not the ultimate goal of our Messiah, from what I understand in reading scripture. So the reason why I bring this up today, I want to come to this word, repentance. And I also want to talk about some street evangelism I did this past weekend. You see, when I go out there and I street preach, often I'm speaking to people who are non-believers, who are in the dark, who don't know Yeshua, and they need to come to know Yeshua. But I went out there this weekend. I was in Virginia, and as I was out there, I was telling people about repentance, and I was also telling people about Yeshua and all this. But it was a very Christian town I was in. It was in front of a Christian place. And I was approaching these people. So my question was, have they read the Bible? And of course they have. They say they're Christians. Well, most Christians haven't read their Bible, at least the whole Bible. I met a Christian once who said she's been a believer for over 30 years and she never read the whole Bible. I said, ma'am, I don't care how slow you read your scriptures. In 30 years, even if you read one page a day, you should have gotten through at least once. It just shows where our desires are, folks, and where our passion is, folks. Well, regardless if you've read all the scriptures or not, that doesn't excuse us from the consequences of living in sin. So as I approach these people, I have to say, you know, what is sin? So that is my question for any Christian listening right now, because we are speaking on a Christian radio station, and I know a lot of believers will hear this. And my question you need to ask yourself is, what is sin? And a scriptural definition of sin. Not your opinion of what sin is, because many people will automatically say, well, it's doing bad things. But if you say bad things are what you believe is bad and not looking at the moral standard of the Bible, well, each person in their own eyes will have a different definition of what bad is, which goes along with the scripture, there's a way before each person that seems right but ends in death. Well, in the Bible, what it talks about as sin is in 1 John 3:4. And in 1 John 3:4, it says sin is transgression of the law, or transgression of the Torah, or transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's what he calls sin. So as I say that, and then I bring up the word commandments, and right away, most Christians say, well, we don't need to keep the commandments because that's what the church has taught them. You know, the church teaches them there's only one commandment that needs to be kept if people want to be blessed, and that is tithing. And there's obvious reasons why they would say that, because they're receiving money for people believing that. Well, I will submit to you that the Bible says we are blessed by keeping every commandment and every guideline that our Creator give us. And we are not to pick and choose. And he's given us more than just two. He's given us more than just 10. And many of them might not apply to us today, where we can't keep them even if we wanted to. But there's a lot more that we can keep. And for someone to say that we can't keep all the ones that do apply to us, I will submit to you that there are more laws of the government today, many more laws of the government today that you keep on a daily basis. So why can't you keep the laws of our Creator? Well, if we start using the right terminology to begin with and not call it law and instead call it his guidelines and instructions, I think many people would be more in tune to keeping them. So if we said the guidelines and instructions of our Creator are there for our safety, and as we listen to them, we will be blessed. And if we don't listen to them, there are consequences and results that are going to happen because we disobeyed the voice of our King, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. And I think that sounds a lot more better than you have to keep the law or else. So we're not getting into this issue today of grace versus law. Or maybe we'll touch upon it, but we're not getting into this. And we're not getting to this issue is you're saved by works. But we're getting into this issue is who is responsible for keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. The guidelines and instructions that he gave for us. And before anyone says, well, I'm free from that or I'm set free from that. Well, you know, if you're not living different than the world's ways, if you were in the world and you accepted Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, as your Messiah, but nothing has changed in your heart, nothing has changed in your actions, and you keep doing the same thing and you're thinking the same things, you know, it's only for our Creator to decide who's truly saved or not saved, or who's truly got salvation or not. That condemnation comes from our Creator. That judgment is from Him. But, you know, a person is known by their fruit, as it says in the Scriptures. And we can't use Yeshua Messiah's death as an excuse to continue living in sin, transgressing the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, going against the Torah, breaking His commands on a regular basis. Now, I tell people, and I'm quick to tell people, I'm a sinner just like you guys that are listening right now. I'm a sinner also. I'm not perfect. There was only one who was perfect. But there's a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous sinners repent for their sins, and they have regret for their sins, and they hate sin. The unrighteous sinners are the ones that use Yeshua's death as an excuse to keep living in sin. And many people out there today are deceived and blinded to the truth, and they haven't seen this, and they don't understand this. So I wanted to talk about this today so you'd realize this. So as I was out there telling people, well, what is sin? And then after we came down to the definition of sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions, and they agreed, and I said, well, do you keep the commandments or do you seek to keep the commandments? And they say, yes. And I said, well, when is the last time you kept the Sabbath, the fourth commandment? And you might be listening right now and give me the same answer these people gave me, which was, oh, I follow it every week, but I do it on Sunday. The fact that I do it on Sunday is not following the guidelines and instructions. Somebody might say, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? I say, no, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, but I'm a follower of our Creator. You know, our Creator didn't just tell us to keep 10 laws, which many of the Adventists need to look at more closely. And anybody that has a question about that or wants to contact me, my information to contact me is before and after the show here, and I will give it out during the show as well. But the idea of just keeping the commandments and keeping them holy means not changing them. As it says in Deuteronomy, it says, do not add or take away from my instructions, but keep my commandments. So when you see that verse in your scriptures, underline the word keep. Do not add or take away, but keep. So the problem Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, had with the Pharisees, they were adding to it. And if he were around today, you know, a lot of people would be legalistic because they would call him a legalist because they've taken away from the commandments, the guidelines of our instructions. But we need to get right with this. The Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night. So somebody says, well, I do it on Sunday. And most people that tell me that, and if you're one of those that is driving right now, going to church on Sunday and then going to a restaurant or going to eat out or causing other people to work or you working yourself is not keeping the Sabbath. You know, I have no problem with people worshiping on Sunday or going to church on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or every day. But keeping the Sabbath set apart and keeping it holy is another story. It's supposed to be different than your other days. And one of those things is your daily work, what you do, and what you're doing with your time. So this today is not about the Sabbath, folks. It's about the idea that many so-called believers or Christians are deceived to believe what they're doing is going along with the scriptures. And that is because they've been deceived for so long, and it's really hard and difficult to get out of something that you've been doing for such a long time. So I first want to establish with you that 1 John 3:4 says, sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That is what sin is, according to our Creator's words, not my ways, not my words. So as we come with that understanding that sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you need to start reading the guidelines of our Creator and see His instructions. Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently follow my guidelines and instructions and keep all my statutes, I will not put the same disease upon you that I have put upon the Egyptians. Folks, this isn't about the Egyptians. This is about the obedient versus the disobedient. What are you showing your obedience to if you're living according to the world's ways? If you're living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator? When it says in Jeremiah he gave us a new covenant, it was that the guidelines and instructions, the Torah, which many people refer to as the law, was not done away with and destroyed. No, it was so important that it was taken off paper and put on our hearts. So we know it by heart. So we live it by heart. And that's the desire that we would all be one day, is we would know it by heart. You know, we look at Shaul, Saul of Tarsus, which many of you call the Apostle Paul. You know, he was a Torah scholar. He knew the Torah by heart. He knew every word of the Torah, and he kept it. Or at least he seeked to keep it. He just didn't know Yeshua yet until the scales were lifted from his eyes, and then hallelujah. He didn't start saying, well, now that I know Yeshua, I have to stop keeping the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. No, he didn't say that, and neither did any of the people that were following Yeshua. And neither were the non-Jewish people that the message was taken to. But some people mistakenly say, well, the Torah or the guidelines and instructions of the commandments, that's only for the Jewish people. Or that's only for Israel. Well, you're partly right and partly wrong. It's not only for the Jewish people. You know, it's for all of Israel. And you might say, well, the Jewish people are Israel. And I submit to you that everyone that proclaims Yeshua as Messiah, the one you call Jesus, is Israel. And if you read your scriptures, you will see that. You have now become the Commonwealth of Israel. And a great example is when the children came out of the Exodus in Egypt. It wasn't just the Jewish people. It wasn't just Israel. It was a whole bunch of Egyptians that came out with them also. And our Creator didn't say, well, this group that came out, since you weren't born in Israel or since you weren't Israelites, you don't have to keep these guidelines and instructions. The command was, if you want to be part of my community, you have to follow my guidelines and instructions. Just like if somebody enters your house, when they enter your house, they have to follow the rules of that house. Well, we have these rules, which is the foundation of all scripture. And if the foundation is weak, everything on top of it is going to be weak. And what the average Christian tries to do is they try to build a beautiful house on a weak foundation. And I'm telling you today, if you want your walk with Yeshua to be as best as it could be, you have to have a solid foundation under that. And you have to have a good understanding of His guidelines and instructions that were not done away with. Many Christians today have no problem keeping the pagan feast of Easter and Halloween and Christmas, but they continually ignore the holy days that we're commanded to observe and remember, as Passover and Sukkot and Shavuot and these other days. So, you know, you should be excited to learn about the Hebraic roots of our wonderful Messiah, to learn more about Him, because when you love something, when you love someone, you should desire to learn everything possible about them, more about them, not less. So you have this opportunity to go and do that, folks. And here I am just letting you know so you can say you never heard it before. You know, because you have heard it. And now it says in James 4:17, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. For those of you that are locally in the South Florida area, we have a local fellowship on the Sabbath, Saturdays at 3 o'clock. You can come and join us. And if you're listening over the internet, you go on my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can see many, many other talks about these topics. And by all means, let's talk about it if you want to discuss it. If you have questions about these things. Because a lot of people are under the deception to say, well, all the laws hang on two laws. And that's, love your neighbor as yourself and love your creator with all your heart. Well, even if they did, if we love our creator with all our heart, we're going to do what he said to do. We're not going to ignore what he said to do. And many people think, and the church teaches today, and the mega church teaches today, we need to accept Yeshua and then repent. And scriptures do it backwards. Scriptures say we need to repent and then accept Yeshua. Repent means to turn from our evil, wicked ways. Now, what are evil, wicked ways? According to the Bible, it's living against the words of our Creator. It's living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's what wickedness is. It's not the definition of wickedness of many of the things that go on in the world that we just feel are bad because we think in our minds they're bad or they're morally wrong. No, it's also that point that the Bible says it's wrong. Not just because it's morally wrong, but because our Creator says it's wrong. So many of us think, well, we're a good person, but what does the Bible think? A good person, according to our Creator, wouldn't purposely and willfully break his commandments on a regular basis and not show remorse for that. If you're listening to this and you're feeling convicted, it's not my words. I'm giving you words of Scripture. I'm telling you what the Scripture says. But let's do a little search here with the word repent and just see what the word says. And the first word that I see that comes up in many different translations, but in some translations, we look at the Psalms. And we look at Psalms 7:12. It says, if a person does not repent, our Creator will sharpen his sword and he will bend the string in his bow. You know, this is serious, folks. We need to turn our ways. And when we hear the word repent, the church doesn't even want to tell us that word. They want to say, well, you can go out there and share your testimony with other people, but don't mention the word repent. We don't want to upset people. We don't want to scare people. We don't want to turn people off. You know, the first people that need to repent are the teachers of the church that teach people all the laws are done away with. They were all nailed to the cross. But by the way, you need to tithe so you can be blessed. That is not what the scriptures talk about, and that's not what the scriptures say. We need to get right with our Creator's words. And I have a sign when I'm out there street preaching. And on the sign, it has Psalms 50:22 on it. And Psalms 50:22 says, repent, all of you who forgot me, or I will tear you apart, and no one will help you. And the reason why I picked that scripture should be quite obvious. Repent, or in another word, turn from your ways. All of you who forgot me, or all of you who forget me. So turn from your ways, all of you who forget me. Repent for living in wickedness. Repent for living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And then he goes, the result of that, or I will tear you apart. So this is our Creator saying, repent, all of you who forgot me, or forget me, and those who forget my ways. So repent, all of you those that aren't keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Repent, all of you that are saying the law is done away with. Repent, all of you who are saying that we don't need to keep the commandments. Repent, all of you that are willfully sinning on a daily basis based on 1 John 3:4, which says sin is transgression of the law. And get right with his words. Because he says, if not, he says, I will tear you apart. But the scripture doesn't add the end there. The scripture goes on to say, and no one will help you. And no one will help you. So, you know, there's many more scriptures in Isaiah 127. It says, Zion will be restored by justice. Those who repent will be revived by righteousness. Righteousness is living right according to our Creator's guidelines and instructions. That's what it is. It's living right according to his words. Zion will be restored by justice. That means those sinners are going to suffer for their sin, the consequences that they deserve. You see, we're all sinners, and Yeshua came to set us free by his death. He took our place on death row. He set us free and gave us a second chance to act righteous, to get right with his word, to repent and act righteous. But you know what? He's coming back again, and he's not coming back for the sinners. The second time he comes back, he's coming back for the righteous. It says, those that who repent will be revived by their righteousness, or right by righteousness. You know, Isaiah 9:13, for after this punishment, the people will still not repent, and they will not seek a creator of the heaven's armies. And that's where we are right now. There are many people that are hearing this word that will continue to hold on to say, well, we don't need to do these things. We don't need to follow these guidelines and instructions. We don't need to follow the Torah. You know, the church has done a great job convincing people that they can pick and choose. And they certainly say the person needs to be tithing still, and tithing was never done away with. Well, the scripture is saying very clearly, it says in Jeremiah over and over again, and Ezekiel, it says, you know, the people refused to repent. The people refused to repent. Well, let's look at Ezekiel 14:6. It says, therefore, tell the people of Israel, and remember, you are Israel if you are a believer in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, the one you call Jesus. It says, therefore, tell the people of Israel, this is what the sovereign creator says. Repent and turn away from your idols and stop all of your detestable sins. You know, it even goes on to say here in Ezekiel 18:30. It says, therefore, I will judge each of you, O people of Israel, according to your actions, says our wonderful creator. Repent and turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Don't let them destroy you, folks. And that's the message of this talk here today, is a wake-up call or something we need to see. Not to let them to destroy you. You know, that's the call as a watchman that we are to have, to let people know what living against our Creator is and what the consequences are. That's it. And as watchmen, those of you that are out there telling your fellow brother and sister, they need to repent before it's too late. There is still time left. It doesn't matter in the past. No matter what we've done, we could still repent and be right with our Creator by getting right with his guidelines and instructions and understanding they weren't done away with and how important they are. And Ezekiel 33:9 says, but if you warn them to repent and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. So as believers, not only should we be living righteously and seeking to live according to our Creator's guidelines and instructions, but we should be teaching others to do the same. You know, we need to be teaching and telling others to do the same, to get out there and let people know what sin is. And we need to let them know they need to get right with the word of our Creator. Matthew 3:2 says, repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh, our wonderful Creator, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You understand, whenever you had this word used in a renewed covenant, it wasn't just turn to our Creator. It was repent and turn to our Creator. So repent for living against his ways. Get right with his ways. Turn to him. For the kingdom of heaven is near. And it is near, folks. And I'm letting you know this because I care about you. I care about you enough to let you know that, you know, people are going to die in their sins. And it talks in the script about willfully sinning. You know, it's not just sinning because we're all sinners. I get that. You know, but I said the difference is who has a remorse for their sins. We have to learn to hate sin. We have to hate sin so much that it doesn't take over us. Luke 13:3 says, not all of you, not at all, and you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to Yahweh. Over and over again in the scriptures, that's the one of the main themes of the scriptures. You know, Acts talks about repentance bringing refreshing. It's not drugs, it's not alcohol. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to our wonderful Creator. So it says basically, turn from your evil deeds, the things that you do going against breaking the commandments of our Creator. Repent from them and turn to our Creator so that your sins may be wiped away. It's repentance that brings refreshing, folks. Repentance. We need to turn our heart and we need to start getting right with his ways. Acts 8:22 says, repent of your wickedness and pray to Yahweh. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. I can go on and on and talk about this word, but I invite you to go into scriptures yourself and look at this yourself. You know, Revelation 2:16 says, repent of your sin, which is living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, willfully, or I will come to you steadily and fight against you, them, with the sword of my mouth. So, you know, we see many people in scriptures that were sinners, folks, but some chose to repent and some didn't. We see David committing murder, you know, and adultery, but he repented and he was spared. We see Rahab, who repented, she was spared. Many people who repented and were spared. But then we go ahead and we see, you know, somebody like Jezebel, who never repented for her evil wickedness, you know, and we see the consequences she suffered. The great thing is, folks, is we all have that opportunity and we all have that choice. So when you first heard about Yeshua and, you know, and you said you wanted to follow him and follow his ways, we need to get back into reading the whole Bible, not just part of it. We need to stop looking at the deception of many churches out there today that tell people we have to keep tithing, but the laws are done away with. That just makes no sense. Or this false idea that the law was nailed to the cross. No, Yeshua came to set us free from the man-made laws, the guidelines and instructions that were added to the words of our Creator. That's why he had such a problem with the Pharisees and the sages. You know, but as for us and what we should be doing, well, it's very clear in the scriptures to say we need to follow his words, keep his guidelines and instructions, keep his commandments if we want to be blessed. And that's what we need to know. That's what we need to do. Hallelujah. It means praise our wonderful Creator. You know, and I pray everyone listening has ears to hear and eyes to see. And you will take these words seriously. Go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can see a lot more information about this. But many of you, your hearts might be hardened. Because you've heard such a message for so long that says, no, we don't have to do that. We can do whatever we want. We're set free. No, when it says Yeshua came to set us free, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. This is about freedom from the ways of man to be set apart and to be holy. And that's why I'm here and that's why I do what I do. And I pray that somebody out there would hear this and get it. And I know you might not get it right away, but keep listening, keep searching, keep reading. And eventually you will get it. You know, pray to our Creator and ask him to show you the truth and to reveal these things to you so you may live a more excellent way. And as it says in the scriptures, all will be well with you. Thank you for checking me out today. Have a great day and shalom, shalom.